From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, and media. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Please join me in welcoming Elaine May and Mike Nichols.
There they were, on the stage together, courtesy of a Film Society of Lincoln Center screening and tribute to Elaine May. And they were sitting around talking shop.
During every movie I made except for Heartbreak Kid, the studio changed regimes.
In the middle of the movie?
In the middle of the movie.
How funny. That's just happening to me. It's happening to me, not one, but two studios.
I had never seen them live when they were a comedy duo in the 50s. I was too young. But I'd listened later, endlessly, as we all did then.
Someday, Arthur, Mom. You'll get married.
Mom.
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom.
And honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Then in the early 60s, they went their separate ways. He to movies and theater. And she, too, theater and movies. He made Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in 1966 and The Graduate in 1969. She made A New Leaf in 1971, in which she also hilariously starred as a botanist opposite Walter Matthau.
Tell me about yourself, Miss Lowell. Your work, your hopes, your dreams.
My hope is to discover a new variety of fern that has never been described or classified. I don't know what my dream is. Do you think it could be the same as my hope?
Elaine May, funniest person alive, maybe, and also smartest, screenwriter, script doctor, film director, playwright, actress, was being honored because she finally agreed to be honored and to show up for this night of tribute. She hadn't done anything like this lately, or maybe ever. The conversation followed weekend screenings of her four films, A New Leaf, Mikey and Nikki, Heartbreak Kid, and Ishtar. On this night, it was Ishtar, the notorious and costly bomb, savaged by the critics when it was released in 1987. Elaine May hasn't made a movie since. Let it be said that Ishtar is really very funny much of the time and has improved with age due to an accident of history, namely the increasing official ineptitude of America abroad.
We're now overtly firing on two Americans, and God knows who else. And they are armed to the teeth!
Get out. The mission's over. Just
Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty play two American would-be songwriters getting ensnared in CIA mishaps in the Middle East while writing and performing unbelievably bad songs.
Telling the truth can be dangerous business. If you don't know yourself, then you don't know why.
Oh, is that brilliant!
The problems Elaine May had in making Ishtar are to some degree the story of her life in film, a little of which she discussed on this occasion.
And it could just be me, because I've had trouble with almost every movie I've done. I had trouble with The New Leaf. They took a murder out of it, because I wanted to do the first comedy in which someone got away with murder. I had trouble with Mikey and Nikki. I didn't have trouble with Heartbreak Kid, because I was hired for it. But with every movie that I've done, I may just be a pain in the ass.
Gradually on this night, Mike Nichols and Elaine May began to swap stories. She told the one about the time she directed her first movie and had no idea that you had to shoot coverage of more than one shot per scene in order to allow the film to be edited.
And I was way ahead of schedule. The first week, I had jumped 4 weeks ahead of schedule. I had no coverage. And I was very proud, and they wanted me to go in and cut it, and I said, well, this is too long. Let's take some time out. The editor said, well, we can't. And I learned that weekend that you had to cover. So I went back and immediately fell behind like 6 months. I mean, I...
Nichols told the one about his questionable decision to turn down the job of directing The Exorcist.
It was my best friend, again, was the head of the studio, and it opened, and it was a gigantic hit, and he took me to see The Line, and he said, you personally lost $30 million by not making this movie. And I said to Elaine, I'm trying to feel bad because John says I lost $30 million by not doing The Exorcist. And Elaine said, don't worry, darling. If you'd made it, it wouldn't have made that kind of money.
And chemistry took over. More and more, they started to sound like Nichols and May, making observations about the culture.
About 7 years ago, if somebody had answered the phone saying, we value your call, please hold on for the next hour and 25 minutes, we'd have hung up. We would have been
and I was thrown right back into those classic routines.
Bell Telephone has stolen my last dime. That's what it comes down to. And well, you stole it. I put it in the telephone, and you took it away. It's my.
Bell Telephone wouldn't steal your dime.
They have stolen my dime.
Bell Telephone doesn't need your dime.
I know. That's exactly.
There was Mike Nichols on stage talking about his life as it is now lived.
Because if you're a snob like me, somebody says, "What is it in regards to?" I say, "Well, it's in regards to Broadway." If you want to know what it's in regard to, you know, I mean...
And all I could think of was Bach to Bach, two brainy lovers meeting.
There is always another dimension to music, and it's apart from life.
Yeah.
I can never believe that Bartok died on Central Park West.
Isn't that ugly?
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
And there was Elaine May talking about psychoanalysis.
When psychoanalysis began... Freud used to take very repressed people and try to break them down, their structure down, so that it would all come out. It has now changed so that what psychoanalysts try to do is to take very broken apart people and repress them and put them together, really, and structure them. Because
and I thought about that old shrink routine.
I'm taking no attitude. I'd like to examine this reluctance of yours to come in on Friday.
But it's not a question of reluctance.
You feel I'm taking the time from your
No, I
children?
Assure you, Doctor, why? Absolutely not. I just promised the kids I would spend
like
that
to,
day with
I'd
them.
Like to know why you can't take 1 hour and come in for your session.
Doctor, look, please, Doctor.
Everything else has changed, of course. But Mike Nichols and Elaine May are still obsessing.
It's such a big world now.
Thank goodness.
It's so hard to do anything. It's so hard to get anyone on the phone. It's so hard to return a piece of furniture. It's almost impossible.
Just the way they used to.
Yes, it is.
What a night. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.